Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we are going to begin our study of the benedictions in the Bible in the New Testament. And the first benediction, which we wish to refer to, is found in the 16th chapter of Romans at the conclusion of the Roman Epistle. We mentioned on our last broadcast that the benediction is spoken at the last. And as the children of Israel left the evening sacrifice, the priest was to use these words in blessing them. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. What a blessed benediction this is. Now, the benedictions in the New Testament also come at the end of the epistles. They close out the epistles. They reflect the truth of the epistle, but they lend their beauty to the blessings that God bestows upon us. Listen to the benediction that closes out the book of Romans. Verse 25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. What a fitting way to close out this treatise on the gospel. Whereas through the epistle, and it is really his gospel, it's his good news, but through the epistle, he speaks of our deliverance from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and from the very presence of sin. It is a complete treatise on the gospel. The book of Romans is such a wonderful book. Now notice, please, that in this benediction, we have deliverance from the power, as we have said, from the power and the presence and the penalty of sin. But this regards salvation. Now, there are three parts to the benediction. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, this embraces all that we've been talking about. And the preaching of Jesus Christ regards sanctification. Where Christ is preached, where he is held up as an example, we become like him, and we become set apart to God. And then lastly, there's glorification according to the revelations, the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Now, the Apostle Paul, in the epistle to the Ephesians, tells us what that mystery is. That mystery is the church. The church is not seen in the Old Testament. Christ is the first one to mention the church. He says to Peter, on that occasion when Peter declared him to be the Messiah, he says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And he says there, upon this rock I will build my church. He refers to Peter as a little rock. Thou art Peter, but upon this rock I will build my church. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is the first one to mention the church. And the church has to do with our glorification, because we're going to be glorified with Christ together in that coming day. So we have three divisions in this benediction. We have salvation, and then we have sanctification, and we have glorification. Let's talk about the salvation aspect of it. This wonderful benediction, how it can cheer the soul. Isn't it wonderful to know that God took care of the problem of sins? We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Whose sins? Our sins. Our sins were placed upon Christ, and he bore them away. John, in introducing his disciples to the Lord Jesus, we read there in first chapter of the Gospel according to John, St. John. The next day, John, seeing Jesus coming unto him, saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That which would keep us out of heaven has been taken out of the way. Our sins would keep us out of heaven. But the wonder of it is, and this establishes us, you notice the words of the benediction, now to him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel, according to my good news about the fact that sin has been taken away, it will establish the soul. We do not need to be in doubt about our sins. We can take the word of God for it. They have been put away. That is the gospel. Now, God is true. He speaks the truth ever and always. It's impossible for God to lie. Now, that is true of everyone that is listening to this broadcast. Your sins were placed upon Christ when he hung upon that cross, and God punished him so he wouldn't have to punish you. Now, does that make you automatically in heaven? Does that give you the automatic entrance into heaven? No. You must receive it. You must believe on him. You must trust him. You must exercise faith. And when we talk about these things that salvation accomplishes, we're talking about things that will establish us. Now, we have three negatives here. It will take away our sins. It will take away our restlessness. It will take away our fears. The gospel will. Now, but it will also give us joy unspeakable. It will give us peace with God and will give us eternal security. This is positive. Three negatives and three positives. I'm going to repeat them. It will take away our sins. It will take away our restlessness. You remember the Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He bore my burden of sins that I might have rest in my soul. Now we go on. It will take away our restlessness, as we have said, and then we'll take away our fears, the fear of God. As we read in Matthew 10 and 28, we read there a verse that is very powerful. "Fear not them," and the Lord Jesus is the speaker, "which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You know there is a fear of death. And we read also in Hebrews chapter 2 that there is a fear of death. Now, this can be taken away. I do not need to fear the God who loved me and gave his Son to die on the cross for me unless I reject it. And then I have every reason to fear him. Now let's speak about the subject of sanctification. Christ is our sanctification. This part of this benediction is comprehended in these words, and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel, that takes care of salvation. And the preaching of Jesus Christ, that takes care of sanctification. To be sanctified simply means to be set apart for God. And as Christ is preached, we fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that saves the soul. He is the one that delights the soul. He is the one that gives us that joy unspeakable, as Peter mentions in his first epistle. Peace with God, as we read in Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal security, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." How long does it last? Everlasting life. He'll have it. God says he'll have it. The moment he trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God brings the life of Christ within us, and we're born again, and all the blessings of God are ours. Now, this is regarding to sanctification. The preaching of Christ, we adore him. We want to become like him. The new Christian wants to become like Christ. And as we contemplate Christ, as he is taught in the Scriptures, as Paul says here, the preaching of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God conforms us to the image of Christ. That is taught to us in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, in that wonderful portion there where the Apostle Paul speaks, "We all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." The Spirit of God, when we contemplate Christ, and Paul brings him before us, when we contemplate Christ, the Spirit of God makes us like Christ. We have a saying in the world, and I think it's true, that we tend to become like people that we admire. The little boy admires his father, and he becomes like his father. He walks like his father, and if you'll permit me to be facetious, he even spits like his father. He admires his father. Now, as the Lord Jesus Christ is brought before us, as Paul is speaking here, the preaching of Jesus Christ, we become like Christ. That is sanctification. Now, in regard to glorification, we become members of his church the moment that we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will be glorified with our Lord Jesus Christ in that coming day. The church is the bride of Christ. That means when we go to heaven, we're going to be his bride. This is taught in the 19th chapter of Revelation, the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's going to be a glorious day when all of those that are redeemed, and everyone that's redeemed, is a member of his church. We may take different names down here, join different local groups, congregations. But everybody that puts their faith in Christ is a member of his church, and he's a part of the bride of Christ. Now, that should connote something very, very precious to us. All the intimacy that Christ shares with his own. We are his own, and that church is going to share his glory. Could you imagine that Christ, the groom, could go to heaven and the bride would not share his glory? It's unthinkable. We will share the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ when we go to heaven. And that is part of Paul's benediction to the Romans. Now, that should establish us. God is building a church down here. Don't you think for a moment that the purposes of God have been defeated? Each one that's saved is a stone in that great edifice, the church of God. And that church is being established and is being developed today. And the destiny of that church is to be with the Lord Jesus and to be glorified in that coming day with him. And so we have here that will establish us too, according to the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Our Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will make us to see from this wonderful benediction closing out the book of Romans that we are in Christ and Christ is everything to us and that we will be glorified with him thanks to his love, thanks to his death for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.